Well, good morning. How are we doing today? I want to personally thank John Mercurio for throwing Nick under the bus as he threw us under the bus this morning, bro, and by acknowledging your birthday and our anniversary. And you can't get away with that, bro, okay? Yeah. So it's all about communication, right? And that's what we've been talking about this past month. We're going to close the month up by talking about that. You know, the gospel is all about communication. The gospel is about God's awareness. And as I've thought about this month and about communication and the way we have kind of discussed it and presented it, you start to become more aware of the need of good communication. I'm sure I'm not alone when I tell you that in our own homes, we need to be able to communicate well. Otherwise, there's nothing but misunderstanding. And misunderstanding is not a good thing. The best thing is we can do is understand each other, especially in the church as well as the home, especially with our children as well as any other relationships, our spouses. It's all about communication. And God is all about communication. His desire, of course, is for us to be aware of him. And I can't tell you what a difference, and I'm sure many of you know, what a difference it makes when you and I are aware of the presence of God. The fact is that God is always present, always near, always close. So why is it that you and I do not sense him or hear him move among us at any given moment? Well, if you're like me, and I think we're all made of the same material, at that moment, we're just not aware of him. He's not absent. He's always present. I'm just not aware. Maybe there's too much going on in my life, too much going on in my head. There's a term called monkey brain. I don't know if any of you know what that means. It's like a bunch of monkeys getting into your head. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie with Robin Williams, Jumanji. There's a scene where monkeys are in the house and they are tearing up the kitchen, throwing everything all over the place, wreaking havoc. And quite often, that's what happens to us in our everyday lives. All of a sudden, we find that life has just been going at us and filling our heads with all kinds of things. And then we try to manage it. And that sometimes makes it even worse, because it's like trying to catch a bunch of bubbles that your child is blowing in the room, trying to collect them and put them in order. And that's impossible. But what makes all things better is coming to the awareness of God. And I have to tell you, that's something that I deal with every day. In fact, I refuse to leave my home until I have become aware of his presence in my life. Because when I do, it makes all the difference. All the difference. And so we've talked about communication, and I want to say to you that it is all about becoming aware of one another, and most of all, becoming aware of God. This morning, I want you to think back of what got us started. And this morning, you don't have to turn to it, but we're going to have Isaiah 1:18. It was the first verse we began our month of communication on, and it says this: God communicating to us, making us aware through the prophet Isaiah, "Come now, let us settle the matter," says the Lord. He wants to make things right. He wants there to be no broken communications between us and him, and for us to be fully aware of his presence. Though your sins, because that's the thing that always gets in the way, are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God begins and sets the stage in order to have a right relationship with us and us with him, and have an open line of communication 24/7, 365 days of the year, from moment to moment. It's about clearing the way, getting everything that is possibly could get in the way of our communicating with him out of the way. And then so it begins. And what he does after that is continually seek over and over for us to be aware of him by coming to us each and every day. God comes to us in many ways, speaks to us through many venues. God can do anything and speak through anyone, even people that we, in our hearts and minds, might push aside, might marginalize, make little of, even through the child's voice and actions. Little things. I would venture to say, even though I don't own a pet, I think through a pet. God can do wondrous things, and God can speak through anyone and everyone. This morning I want to look to you, with you to a person, and we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 14, and look at verses 3 to 9. This week I had Frank put up the verses from the New Living Translation. I kind of combed the pews, or the seats, I should say, and in your seats there are many New Living Translations. I happen to favor the NIV, and as you might have noticed, I've been using that since the beginning of the month. But I want to use the New Living Translation with you today, and whether you want to look on the screen or open up a Bible at your seats, Mark 14, 3 to 9. And we're going to look at a woman who is going to teach us a little something about communication. Starting with verse 3, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany. I don't know what you might think, but when you hear the word Bethany, that is a stepping stone to Jerusalem. That's the next step, leads us to the cross. Well, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany and at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. That's over Jesus' head. And some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. Ever read the Bible and kind of be on your way to the next thing, and then all of a sudden you get hooked? That happened to me this week. I was just reading. I was going to move on, and then I felt the shepherd's cane hook me. Oh, stop. I want you to look at something, okay? And the more I looked at him, I said, you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. And as I began to look at this woman's life, I realized that she began to embody many of the things that we spoke about this month, or many of the things I spoke to you about this month. She was aware, I think more aware than the men sitting around the table with Jesus, of what was going on. And if she wasn't, she was inspired by the Spirit of God to be aware of whose presence she was in. And I'm not sure if she was aware of where he was on his way to, but her actions spoke volumes as she anointed him, that is Jesus, because he was on his way to be able to communicate to not just a few bands of people in some masses on a hill, but to the entire world, that he cared about them, that he loved them, that he was actually going to go and die for them. And she was assisting him with her actions. Think about her body language. What did she do? She entered into a place. We don't even know if she was invited, but she invited herself if she wasn't. And she went in and she opened up this perfume and she anointed his head. Look at her body language. Then think about what drew her in there. I can't help but think that she had one priority that day, that she was going to come upon Jesus and anoint him with oil. She was going to do something good. It wasn't acknowledged as that. Have you ever done something good? There's a phrase that I have been aware of for probably the last 9 years. No good deed goes unpunished. And so she anoints his head with oil. She does a good thing. Those are Jesus' own words. It wasn't like she walked in and said, "Hey, guys, stand back. I'm going to do something good." She comes in and she anoints his head with oil. She does a good thing. And they get indignant about her anointing Jesus. I couldn't help but wonder, where were they? Where were their minds? Where were their thoughts going to? This is Jesus. Isn't he deserving of any kind act, any act of worship, acknowledging, being acknowledged? What were they thinking? But she did what she did. She did a good thing. And though she was judged for it, she did a good thing. And though she was looked down upon, she did something that was truly from her own heart. I want to say to you, I think that the most beautiful things that you and I can communicate are that which come from here, from within us. That God moves upon us and moves us to do something, not because we're supposed to, because we're Christian, but because God's awareness to us broke through and said, "Stop what you're doing. I want you to go here. I want you to hug that person, smile to this person, hold the door for this young lady." Be aware that God is on the move. She was aware of this, the woman. She did a good thing. It came from her. The perfume didn't belong to anyone else but her. It was hers to keep and to sell if she needed the money, since it was so expensive, or it was hers to give away. And she was moved to give it away, to anoint the Lord. And Jesus said she did what she could. Seems like her priorities were in line. She was in tune at that moment with God. And I want to say to you that when our relationship is right with God, when we are moving towards him, everything about our body language says, "I just want to know him," or "I need to know him." Spoke to someone this week and I said to them, "What was the turning point?" I asked him, "What was the turning point of you coming to God?" And he said to me, I was broken. I was broken. I don't know about you. I think most of us don't want to be broken. Doesn't feel good. I don't feel good about myself. I want to go off and be alone. I don't want to be around anybody. But I want to say to you that that's one of the most wonderful times in a person's life. It can be. It all depends on where we go with it. The young man I spoke to said, basically, he went to God. When we are in relationship with him, when we've come to him, when our body language is moving to him because we need him or because we're broken or because we just made and become aware of him, and then our priorities start to fall in line. "Oh God, what would you have me do with my life? What do you say? What do you want me to do?" Not what I'm thinking, not what I say, what I want to do, but what you want me to do. It then propels us forward to others, to give ourselves to someone else other than ourselves. I got to tell you, I confess to you, I'm pretty good at giving myself for myself and thinking about myself. and becoming self-centered. That just becomes natural. That's interwoven in each of our DNA, some more than others. It all depends on where we are in the journey. But God calls us in the relationship to go forward and to give ourselves away to other people. And this woman's act in entering in this room and anointing Jesus was doing that very thing. She was giving herself away. She was giving what she had to someone else. And it happened to be Christ. Now, probably, as she was misjudged, we could probably sit back and say, that's what she did. That's all she could do. Have you ever felt, what can I do for God? You know, I don't play an instrument. I don't sing. I'm not very outgoing. I want to tell you, there's a lot that you can do for God. Jesus said of this woman, she did what she could. You know, there's a lot of things that you and I can do that we think nothing of, but make a difference in someone else's life. But we won't be aware of that unless we are aware of the presence of God. Spending time with Him, hearing from Him, getting a sense of direction from Him. And when we do, we get to become a part of His plan, His story, His journey. You see, because what she did was to assist Him in going forward. Because He was about to enter into a time where He was going to give His life for the entire world. And she played a part, a small part, you might say, but she still had a part in it in assisting Jesus' plan and travels as He's going to Jerusalem. So much so that Jesus said, whenever my gospel is going to be preached, whenever the word of God is going to be spoken, throughout all time, this woman, as small a thing as she did, is going to be remembered. She did something that will have an everlasting effect on what is about to take place. She played a part in presenting the gospel. Her action said and proclaimed, this is the Savior. This is the one who loves you and I so much that He's going to give His very life soon and very soon so that we can enter into this awareness, into this relationship with Him, so that we can communicate with the living God who is able to meet us no matter where we're at, no matter what we're dealing with, struggling with. And while doing that, He wants to take us and use us for others. Now, I want to say to you that there is a great need all around us, all around you and I, to be used of God. And I want to say to you, as people of God, all our oars need to be in the water. I don't know what it's called, but that sport, right, where they all get in, all those guys get in the boats, a long, lean, thin thing, and they all have oars, and they are the guy at the head of it, has got his little microphone, and he's, stroke, and they're all moving in harmony, right? And the faster they go, the more synchronized they are, the more unity that's there, that boat is flying, and at some point, somebody crosses the finish line and wins that race. Probably the most disciplined, probably the most focused, probably the most desirous to cross that line first. But they go at it until they do, until they cross. That's what God is looking for us as a people to do. And I don't care how old some of you are, because age means nothing. All right? You hear the amens coming from the older people in the audience, right? Hey, amen. I'm with you. I don't care what level of education you've had. I don't care where you fall on the ladder, on what rung. God, if you belong to God, God wants to use you. And there is a great need all around us. You know, this church is like every other church. We have the 90-10 rule at play here. What does that mean? Some of you already know what I'm going to say. 90% of the ministry and the things that need to be done in this building, on this property at the parsonage, whatever belongs to the Patchogue Church is done and handled by 10% of the people. and it should not be. And I'd love to say that the Patrick Church, among all churches on this district, in this neighborhood, in our communities, should set an example. Be a people that are engaged and have all our oars in the water. Because God wants to do a tremendous thing here. But, you know, just like if you want to have a tremendous city, you need an infrastructure. You know, roads need to be built, bridges need to be kept, lights need to be maintained. Because that infrastructure brings unity and order and makes things happen. Well, that needs to happen here. And so we need people engaged. And we have needs. We have needs when it comes to our grounds and our buildings. We have needs. By the way, if you're handy and you can swing a hammer or turn a screwdriver, push a broom, you can help. We have needs in our Sunday school. I was talking with Liz Duffy, and she said, you know, if a person can read, they can come in and teach. And she'll train you, and I'll help her. But we have a need, because 10% of the people eventually get burnt out. And why do this? Because it's all about the message of the gospel. It's all about what Jesus came to do. It's not, you need to do this because we have a church to run, and, you know, we need you, and, you know, it's got to be bigger than that, and it is bigger than that. God is in this place. And if you want to see God move in this place and bring more people and fill this place with people who need to know his love and are aware of his presence, then we need to have the infrastructure. Those of us who have been here, or those of us who have been engaged in our faith, because some of us have just gotten here and we're here only about a month. But that those of us who are engaged in our faith need to be engaged in the work that God has. And you know what? You never know what you can do if you just would offer your services to people like John Mercurio, who's involved in buildings and grounds, or Liz Duffy, or Sue Herman. You know, we have things that are going on here that need your touch. Now, you might not think you have much to offer. What did this woman have to offer? But Jesus said she did what she could. And I want to say to you that there's something that each of us can do here. So maybe we can raise it to 20-80, 30-70, or 60-40. Wouldn't 50-50 be great? Thing is that we are involved. And like this woman, we can be involved. You see, you and I have an opportunity to do things that will last, not just a lifetime. I mean, you spend time with a child. You wrap your arms around the child in the church, or you take time to read to them and nurture their faith, or you get engaged with a teenager who's probably is entering into probably one of the hardest times. Remember when you were a teenager? Can I get a show of hands? All right, how hard was that? I went down the tubes. As a teenager, you laugh. You should only know. Talk to me about my story sometime. And I didn't come out of that nosedive until I was 20 years old, and that was all because of the grace of God. But I tell you, there are teens here in this church and teens in our community that God wants to bring here who need a loving touch. And you and I can do something that would have a lasting effect throughout their life and into eternity. Because what this woman did is still today spoken of. And I want to say to you that you have no idea that one touch from you what might be able to do to some other person. But you have to have that willingness to now take the next step. Because if you are in a right relationship with Christ, that is that at some point you said yes to Jesus, come, forgive my sins. I want to know you and follow you. If your body language has been speaking in a way that, oh God, you know, I may not want to go there, but if you want me, I will follow you there. And if you are begun to prioritize your relationships, oh God, you are the most important person in my life. then the very next thing is to giving yourself away. That's what Jesus said to Peter, I will make you a fisher of men. That meant he was going out. And he didn't just say that to specifically him. He meant it for all his boys. God is calling us. What he has given you and me is not just for you and myself. It's for the world that we live in. And being a Christian, or AKA a follower of Jesus, means exactly that. But I'm not good. I don't have the gift of gab. I can't talk like you. It doesn't matter. You're a person. You have affection. You have a kindness in you. You have compassion. You know someone who can fill you with whatever you and I don't need. You know, someone said to me, and I was like, oh, man, this is awesome. I probably heard it a long time ago, but maybe I forgot it. God doesn't call the equipped, all right, because you have abilities. God calls those he wants to equip. Fill their lives with the things that they need for others. Empower them. He equips those he calls. And I want to say to you, God wants to use you. We have a lot of grandparents in this sanctuary, right? We have a toddler room. Don't you just love little children? I mean, yeah? Spending time with them. Become part of the rotation. Pick up some of the weight. Help out. Do what you can. Do what you can. Because I want to tell you that there are many things that you and I will do that if we are listening to God and we become more in tune with him, these things will have that lasting effect and will go on and they will be noted in your file. Your file, God's file. And it will last. It will last. God will do something with it. Today I want to close with a poem by a gentleman by the name of C.T. Studd. Master Frank will have it for you. Charles Thomas Studd was a British missionary born in 1860. And I confess to you that I went over this and I got the twisters and the twills and the twas and whatever English language that kind of causes me to kind of stumble over it. Some of you I know still enjoy reading from the King James Version. I don't. I confess to you. Please don't judge me for it. And so I touched this up a little. And the poem reads as this. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding my selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn. Living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, it was worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. As Nick comes to usher us into a moment of prayer, I encourage you, maybe this week, to pull down this poem. Make it a time of your devotion to him when you meet with him, and reflect on the message. You see, God has done a wondrous thing in our life. And he loves you so much. He just would like the opportunity to express that same love to those around us. Just by us being who we are and sharing who we are with others. Each and every day, you go to places I could never go. You meet people I will never meet. But you meet them, and if you meet them, God is able to meet them as well. If you believe that, your life will take on a whole new meaning and a whole new direction. He can literally change the course of your existence, regardless of what stage of life you find yourself in now. He is able. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for getting our attention. Maybe for many of us, it was a good many years ago. But Lord, you have sought us daily. You love us so, oh God, that you want us to become more aware of you than ever before. Oh Lord, help us to realize that at this very moment, we have such a golden opportunity to open ourselves up to you and say, oh Lord, be thou my vision. Be my great hope. Replace my deficiencies with your efficiencies, oh God. Fill me with your presence. Make me able to get out of my own way, to allow you in, to change my thinking, because my thoughts have gone to places they do not belong. Oh God, temptations have come and seek to draw us away, and we need your help this day. So Lord, as you look at us, oh God, let us know how so aware you are of us and how you wait so patiently for us to reach out and to ask you, Lord, take my hand. Take my hand, because I fear if you don't, I will lose my way. And I will get involved in things I should not. or that which will just waste my time, when you have given me each and every moment that I possess. Oh God, call us to your servanthood and rest. Bring about a change, oh God. So that like this woman, oh God, we can do a good thing. That like this woman, we can do what we can and make a difference. Become a part of your story, oh God. A part of the gospel message. Not merely by what we say, but how we live our lives. Help us to stay, oh God. Draw us to you now. Jesus, in your name, draw us to you now. Before I say amen, I want to always open this area up front to you. This is the place to meet him. This is the place, this is an opportunity to come before him. And so as Nick plays and sings and worships, our God, if you so want, do not hold back. If God is tugging on your heart, no one should keep you from that place. Now, Father, we are your people. And, oh God, make us more aware of you now than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.
Stand with me. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done. God has equipped you for service to him. Go. Do what he calls you to do. Listen to his voice. Communicate with the Lord. Be blessed. Have a great week. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. In Christ's name. Amen.